would you find in your Bibles, laptop, smartphone, whatever you have nearby, would you find the book of Psalms and find Psalm chapter 1? Psalm chapter 1, it ought to be the third easiest book to find. Genesis, Revelation, Psalms right in the middle, which means we are right on target. We came out of 2020, some of you might remember, with a determination there could be people of the book. We're preaching through the Bible, mostly on Sunday morning. Sometimes we go a little bit back and forth, but basically we're preaching through. We're at the middle, and by 2030, we're going to be in Revelation. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to today and what the Lord has to teach us all in between. You folks look like you're glad to be here today. Listen, I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to see you today, glad for you to be a part. I want you to think for just a moment of the many ministries of Parkway Baptist Church and those who've been affiliated with Parkway. We know that we have a group that's out today. They're in Knoxville coming back. They've been on mission trip. Had our children's camp ministry this past week. They came in about the middle of the week and had that going on. We had Amanda come and chair. She's one of us, and as she came and chair, she's one of our superheroes who are on mission. And we appreciate her. She's going to be here for a few weeks this summer, sharing with us here in a couple of weeks on a Wednesday night as well. And so lots of things that are happening. We had a group just get back last night about midnight after about a 38-hour trip of coming back to see some of our superheroes who are our friends in the country of Georgia, the Republic of Georgia. And they've been sharing. And hey, about most of the team I've seen here this morning. And so that's, I want you to not commend them for, you know, you pay me to be here. Commend them for being here. We appreciate them and all the good work that they did. Great team, opportunity to be involved. We worked with a youth camp while we were in the Republic of Georgia, as well as did some construction, some other things, and ministering to them there. They want to thank you. Now, we've got some affiliated with our church, lived in our mission house, got involved here at the church. They were on mission there, and they want to thank you for all the resources that you have provided, the people that you sent. They have a hard time getting name brand peanut butter there. We took them suitcases of peanut butter, and they really do appreciate it. I've got pictures and many other things they requested, as well as things that are happening at the camp. You provided also for the construction materials at that camp, which they would not have been able to do. God can do all things, of course, but probably not this well. Lord could have done it this week, certainly. But what we provided through us, through Parkway, and we appreciate you as well. Now, so you know I've been traveling, and I've come in about midnight, so if I seem to pay closer attention to the teleprompter today than usual, you'll understand. It'll be okay, but we're excited about what the Lord's going to be doing here today already with the worship service. And now, sometimes I had opportunity last Sunday to preach at one of the Georgia Baptist churches that are there, and they're probably the size of this service and the next service, probably all of Georgia Baptist probably could have fit in as many that as there are, but we were one of the churches able to preach. I haven't done this many times, of course, with an interpreter. They speak Georgian, Russian, and some English, but I had an interpreter that was with me, and sometimes things get lost in interpretation, so I came up and I told them, I said, greetings from L.A., otherwise known as Lower Alabama, and here was the translator who said, greetings from Los Angeles, otherwise known as Lower Alabama. And they just looked at me kind of confused and bewildered why I would say such a thing. Yeah, kind of like you're looking right now, kind of like we looked lots of times, of course. But sometimes things get lost in translation, but we know one who is always completely understandable in sharing us his love and his truth and what he has in store. Well, this morning, the Lord wants to use you who walk close to the Lord to be an influence on others. We're reading from Psalm chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 6, which is the entire chapter. It's not a long book, not a long chapter. It's a long book, not a long chapter. But this now is the word of God. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Notice again verse 1 that we read just a moment ago. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. And while it uses the word man there, some of your translations may actually leave the word man out, but we recognize the application is for all believers, all those who are followers. It is for everyone. So this morning we're going to use this first psalm to praise God for all who have committed themselves to following Jesus and encourage others to do the same. This also serves as kind of an introduction to this series on the Psalms, 150. We won't preach on all 150 Psalms, but we will on a select few of these Psalms. But we recognize the Psalms, they are Hebrew collections of songs and poems that have been put together more than one person, more than one time or series, but from the Old Testament in which they have come, so that they were being used in the Old Testament, being used in the Israelites for personal devotion and for times of worship. And they are prayers sometimes of the suffering. They are hymns of praise. They're confessions of faith, confessions of sin. They teach history. They proclaim God. And Jesus said, and we will come to find out not only today but in the days to come, but Jesus said in Luke chapter 24, he said, then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, and everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. In other words, Jesus is saying that the Psalms are about him. So we want to pay a close attention to this first psalm. It talks about the blessings awaiting those whose lives are committed to God, but the destruction for the life who leaves God out. When God looks on people, he sees two kinds of people. He sees those who are in Christ and those who are not. In fact, the New Testament certainly talks about all those who are either in Adam, that is, that we remain in Adam, remain in our sins, or all those who are in Christ, those who have been saved by grace through faith, and there is no in-between. Now, let's not make this too complicated today. Hope it's all right. I need simple, and really, this is a simple psalm. The psalmist helps us, and he tells us there are two people, there are two roads, and there are two destinies. Jesus talked about two ways, two gates, two roads. Often, which place are you? We who are in Christ are on a journey. We're walking with Jesus. And godly people are known by their journey, where the journey takes you and where it does not. Some of you are familiar with Eugene Peterson's The Message. When he writes in Psalm 1, it's a paraphrase of the scriptures, but he says in Psalm 1, how well God must like you. You don't hang out at Sin Saloon. You don't slink along dead-end road. You don't go to Smart Mouth College. How God must like you. Please note, if you would, the progression or maybe the digression that we have here, particularly even in the very first verse. Tori talks about the person in the psalm walks, stands, and then sits. Or please note, though, that the psalmist is commending this person for not walking in the wrong place, not sitting in the wrong place, not standing in the wrong place. But we can actually picture a person who walks near the counsel of the wicked. I mean, he's not at first actually involved. They're just hanging out. Well, what's wrong with that? Well, they're just here, over here, the worldly, and what the worldly are up to. Have we ever just been around the worldly? Hey, it's about what we do probably every day. We just walking on the edge of sinful stuff at first, and we figure, what's the problem? The problem is that when we walk on the edge of sin, we're so tempted to stop and stand in the way of sinners. We're not just peeking in any longer. We're not just passing through. We found a spot that's going to get us in trouble. We linger a little too long. We get a little too close. In the Bible, it's pretty clear. God gives warning. If you come too close, you will get burned. This is true in many areas. We probably could think of a lot. Certainly true in gossip. It's true in pornography, flirtations with the opposite sex, alcohol, drugs, greed. Many areas where you and I know that we need to steer clear. But notice in the verse what's next. You walk and then you stand and then you sit. Not just anywhere, but you sit right in the seat of the mockers, the very seat of sin, mocking God's love and provision by what you say in the very lives that you live. When this happens for those who are on the journey with Christ, it is a tragedy, because no one can tell the difference between those who are in Christ and those who are not in Christ. Well, surely this can't happen to believers. Do you remember the disciple by the name of Peter, Apostle Peter? Apostle Jesus Christ, on the night that Jesus was arrested, the very night that he said that he would not deny the name of Jesus, that he would follow Jesus, even up to giving his very life. But after Jesus was arrested, the Bible said that he did follow, but not very close. He followed from afar, maybe thinking that he wouldn't be noticed as a disciple. He could kind of blend in with the crowd. After all, isn't that what we want? We want to follow Jesus, but we want to follow so close that people think that we're radical about Jesus. In fact, we'd rather be maybe part of the crowd. And who knows, maybe if we're a little bit more of the crowd, maybe we can kind of help some of those people that those people who are radical about Jesus can't help. Hear me on this. We need to understand walking on the edge of sin and not walking close to Jesus or not being obedient to Jesus does not make you a hero, but it leads to disaster for you and for those you might influence. You remember what Peter did next after he followed Jesus? The Bible says he stopped and stood. Boy, doesn't that sound familiar from what we just read to the psalm? And he warmed himself by the fire with some Jesus haters. One of them recognized him. Aren't you one of the disciples? No, I'm not, said Peter. Wait a minute, did we just hear Peter right? Did he really say no? How about you? Anybody ever ask you if you're a Christian follower of Jesus? How about if you go to Parkway Baptist Church? You probably wouldn't deny that, but I got to tell you, by letting people know, you could be doing more damage than good if you're in a place that you shouldn't be or if you're doing things that you shouldn't be doing. More important is how you're identified as a follower of Jesus. A second time someone asked Peter, aren't you one of the ones who were with him? Peter said, no, I don't even know the man. And then a third time someone asked, you sure sound like a Galilean. You sure you're not one of his disciples? The Bible says that Peter began to curse and to swear and deny a third time knowing Jesus at all. Peter had just walked in the counsel of the ungodly. He stood next to and joined in with the sinners. Now we're all sinners, but the psalmist has in mind, and he's talking about sinners who do not know God and their lifestyle reflects it. And then Peter literally sits in the seat of those who are mocking God. Do not think for a moment it cannot happen to any one of us who walk on the edge instead of the center of the fellowship and obedience to Jesus Christ, especially those of us who might find ourselves prideful, thinking this could never happen to us. Nor is this talking about never associating with people who are in need of Christ, because it is in this same Jerusalem just 2 months later that we find that Peter is the one who is called on at Pentecost and the Holy Spirit comes upon all believers and maybe to explain what is going on, and he's the one that tells the people, of course, about Jesus, and the Bible says that 3,000 were saved. You and I, we know the difference. We know the difference between being influenced and being influencers. And Paul also reminds us, Peter also reminds us where we have failed. His grace and his forgiveness is sufficient and it is available. The psalmist said, blessed is the man who does not walk on the edge. The word blessed reminds us of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. It's sometimes translated as happy, but it is a deep-seated joy and contentment in knowing God and knowing that he's pleased with your life. Not because of your perfection, but because of God's grace and forgiveness and your own desire to know God better. And because you can, we're blessed because we know that we can be a person of influence. This blessedness is not just because of what you do not do. Now, if you don't walk on the edge or stand in the midst of sin or sit with the scoffers, you're to be commended. But it's also in what you do. Notice verse 2 we read a moment ago, Psalm chapter 1 and verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Now, what does it mean to delight in or to meditate on the law of God? Now, the psalmist at the time of writing this considered that he may have only been familiar with, he may not even had personal copies of the first 5 books of the Bible, but he delighted in what he knew. He delighted in what he was able to read. How much more delighted we should be knowing that we have a fuller picture and we have all 66 books of the Bible. Access to God's Word should bring us great joy. But too often, that which seems too familiar, easy access, calls us to be less grateful. But even today, reading this can remind us to be intentional and delight in God's Word. We're going to talk much more in the coming weeks as we look at the psalm and how often the psalmist praises the Word of God. Now, to meditate comes from a word that means to murmur to yourself. Now, not in a trance or a non-coherent state of meditation, but with all faculties working as you listen, as if God were speaking to you when you read the Bible. For the Bible is God speaking to you. And you talk back to the Bible. You question and ask and praise and claim promises and find the application. And most important, you ask, what does the law of God teach me about Him? What does it teach me about Jesus? The blessedness is found with those whose lives are dedicated to not only the study of God's Word, but following God's Word. Those who seek to have a growing relationship with an Almighty God through Jesus. You need to know that the only way that you can keep from walking on the edge or sitting in the seat of sin or joining with those who are mocking God, the only way that you can know that you can be a part of that is by delighting in the Word of God and delighting in the one it points to in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How often is it that we're supposed to meditate on God's Word? Did you notice what it said in verse 2? Day and night. Like Proverbs 31 describes the godly woman. Some of you are familiar with that passage. Well, Psalm 1, we might say, describes the godly man, or it could be the godly person. But it describes his character. You follow the words and the ways of God no matter what anyone else does. It describes his influence. You bear fruit, become a blessing to others. It describes his conduct. You're known by what you and by what you do not do. You seek to live a life with integrity. And it describes his future. While the wicked will not be able to stand up in the day of judgment, verse 6 says, the ways of the ungodly will perish. The ways of the godly will always be before the eyes of God. In other words, it talks about the future of those who know God and have a personal relationship. You will be with him forever. The hub, or the middle of this point, the psalmist paints a picture of a tree that is planted by a river or a stream. Many of you know that much of the land of Palestine is kind of a dry and rocky ground, so a tree by a river would be like an oasis in the middle of that land. Well, you and I, we need to be like an oasis in a spiritual desert, where when our families come home from living in a dry and thirsty land, they come home and they're able to be refreshed because you are bearing fruit in your life and you need to be influenced in your home. Friends need to know that where you stand, and you're like that tree that will not fall because it is well rooted and well fed, regardless of what happens. They need to know that this is where you stand. This is what happens when faith comes your way. When troubles come your way, your faith is going to be made stronger. Your church family is affected by you. Last part of verse 4 says, whatever he does shall prosper. When you succeed, the church succeeds. When you prosper, the church prospers because you're part of the church. Because it's not talking about here about prospering by worldly standards, but by the purposes of the church. You prosper when you lift up the name of Jesus. You prosper when you love other people who need to be loved, particularly when you love them and they become believers in the Lord Jesus or become stronger in the faith. You prosper when you live by the Word of God. Well, how can that happen? How can man, woman, boy, and girl have this kind of influence with their family, friends, and church family? There's a phrase here that kind of gives us a clue. It's found in verse 3. It's the phrase that is planted by streams of water. He is like a tree planted by streams of water. Without deep roots that find nourishment, there is no fruit or growth. But Jesus is described in the New Testament as the living water. And God's Word provides the daily nourishment. We fellowship with Jesus through real prayer, constant study, and obedience to God's Word will make us a blessing to those we love. Because, boys and girls and ladies and gentlemen, we want to be influencers in the world for Jesus, not influenced by the world away from Jesus. The psalmist says, blessed is the one, blessed is the person who does that. You're to be one that is like that tree planted by the water who always bears fruit in season and whose leaf is always green in season. In other words, when prayers we feel like are being answered, we feel like we're being heard by God in season, meaning that when things are going good, we recognize we continue to give praise to the Lord God and we give Him all the glory. Sometimes we're not in season. Sometimes things are rough. Sometimes things are not going the way that we would like. But even out of season, we recognize and we give praise to God. We continue to trust Him, and we know that those who trust in Him will never be put to shame. Compare to the ungodly. It's a comparison that's taking place in Psalm 1. Compare to the ungodly, meaning those without a relationship with God who are like chaff that goes whichever way the wind blows. See, we don't want to go every way the wind blows. We want to be sure that we're going God's way. I've never Googled myself to find out, but I don't think that I have much of a social media footprint. I know that because before I came to this church, somebody in the church Googled me just to see what would come up. And the only thing that they found that came up was one time many years ago when I was in a play in the town in which we live. My wife was the director of the Fine Arts Center in that town, and they were doing a play on a bank robbery that happened in that town 75 years ago, and they didn't have enough men to pull it off. So she convinced me to come and be in the play. I had the austere ability to play man number four. I'm sure it was a wonderful performance. I also played the vice president of the bank. It was a dual role that was taking place, though man number four had the funnier lines. Well, we recognize, of course, that when we come to a place and we want to be able to have an influence on others, it may not matter how much our social media is, but wherever it is, whether it's on social media, in the community, in your home, or your church, let there be no mistake that you're seeking to be the person described in this psalm. Do the roots of your life reach down and tap into the stream of living water who is Jesus, so that you can withstand the storms of life, be able to give adequate praise and worship of your Savior and Lord? Are you worshiping? Are you growing? Are you bearing in your life the kinds of fruit that brings blessing to others, points your family and others to Jesus? Has this psalm, reading this psalm, at least have you a desire, perhaps, that you'd like to have a more godly life? If not for your sake, then maybe for the sake of others. But the only way this can happen is with that growing relationship with the Lord Jesus. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, it's a simple psalm, yet it's profound. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to keep it simple, yet we're going to seek to be profound. Because this psalm is not about making sure you become a better person. It's about a relationship with the Lord Jesus. So to make sure that we are all on the same footing here with a new beginning of a new series of messages that are taking place, we're preparing for new semester that's going to take place, new church year. So we want to ask you today, I know many of you, most of you, know a lot of your spiritual journey, but we want to be sure every time we come together that everybody knows Christ as their Lord and Savior. We talked in Vacation Bible School about the ABCs of becoming a Christian. We talk about that, use that sometimes, so we want to use those this morning. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you want to be sure, you might want to pay attention to the ABCs. First of all, A is for admit that you are a sinner. In fact, the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. B is for believe that Jesus is the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We recognize that Jesus is the only way, that as the Son of God, God in the flesh, that came, died for us, 3 days later rose again. And C, that is confess faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him, believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So we recognize that we must know of our sins. We must believe what the Bible says about Jesus, be ready and willing to confess. Here's a sample prayer, because I want you to be ready, because at the end of the service here in just a few moments, that if you don't know Christ or you want to know for sure from this day forward that you have Jesus in your heart and life, here's the sample prayer. These are not magic words, or they got to be these words. It is the sincerity of heart. But dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner in need of forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose again. Today I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I put my life and my eternity in your hands. Thank you for dying for me. Help me to live for you. In Jesus' name, I pray. We'll give you opportunity here. Think about if this is what you need, ready to accept Christ. Because it's not how good you are. It's about how good God is. It's about what Jesus has done for us. In light of the cross of Christ, The only difference between the righteous and the wicked is the forgiveness and the salvation provided by the blood of Jesus. We're only made righteous by His grace through faith. This psalm describes the righteous person, and it is how we should act and behave, what we should and should not do. But too often we look too much like the wicked and less like God. In short, Christ is saying, or the scripture is saying, that if you are in Christ, you should act like it, because of what Christ has done for you and because of others who need to come to know Christ as well. Today we praise God for Christian men and women, boys and girls who desire to please God and who are making a difference at their home, business, community, schools. But God makes it pretty clear in this psalm and other places, you only see two kinds of people, those who are of God and those who are not. How does God see you? If you are of God, it's because of the grace of Jesus Christ and not our own works or merit that we come to Him through faith. But what a great day to give your heart and life to Jesus. Maybe you know you have Jesus in your heart. This is not really to describe you. You know you have Christ in your heart, but you're not living the way in which you know Christ should live. Today's a good day for you to come back to the center and stop living on the edge. Psalm 1 is a magnificent beginning to the 150 psalms that are taking place here. It's not the first psalm by accident or by coincidence, for it sets the tone and introduces all other chapters and verses. The rest of the psalms will be an exposition of this chapter, these six verses. For we read this psalm, read this chapter in light of the New Testament, there's only one who's never walked with the wicked. There's only one who's never stood or participated with sinners or sat and joined in with those who are mockers of God. One of the early church fathers, Augustine, said this same man described in Psalm 1 is to be understood as our Lord Jesus Christ, and he is inviting all others to come down the same road with him. I'm inviting you to come over the next few weeks to come down this road with me as we continue to look at Psalms, because we're studying the Psalms. We're letting it speak to us, but what we're really studying is about Jesus. I invite you to come along so that we might be able to have a better understanding of who Jesus is, what He has done for us, how He helps our every need, and how we can better praise Him. We know all the Word, all of God's Word points to Christ. I invite you to come along with me, but even more than that, I invite you to follow down that road that leads to real living and eternal living found in Jesus. Let's bow together for prayer. Today, with every eye closed and concentrating on what we're about to talk about, I encourage those that if you've not accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord, if you today maybe are not sure, but you want to be sure that you have a home in heaven and Christ in your heart, would you pray this prayer with me? In sincerity, dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and in need of forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose again. Today I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I invite you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I put my life and eternity into your hands. Thank you for dying for me. Help me to live for you. This I pray. Father God, we pray today that there's those who are in this room, maybe even some listening today, that any who do not know you as Lord and Savior that have prayed that prayer, I pray that you'll give them the assurance that they have Christ in their heart today. Not because of we said the right words, not because we've done the right thing, but because we put our faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you that we can be a church that can continue to proclaim the good news of Jesus. I pray for all those who are here today, Father, maybe some who are living on the edge. They need to be brought back to the center today, Father. I pray that this might be the day they call upon you. We know that you forgive immediately, and you help us to be able to walk in the center of your will. Thank you, Father, for those who continue to seek to walk in the center of your will. We pray today it might be a sense of encouragement to continue along the road that you'd have us to go. We also pray that as a church, that we may be in the center of your will as we move forward in all that we do. Thank you, Father, for helping us, encouraging us, allowing us to participate in your worship service. It's in the precious name of the Lord Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you stand, please? We're going to be singing our song of commitment. We encourage you to follow the Lord's direction in your life. If you're looking for a church to join, this is a good place and a good time. You need a good Bible-believing, Jesus-loving church. Well, you found one today. We encourage you to come follow the Lord's direction and be a part of the church family here as the Lord leads. If you prayed and asked Christ to come in, I encourage you to tell somebody. You can tell us during this while we sing today. I'll be down here. A couple of our staff will be down here as well, be ready to talk with you. Just come, let us know you've prayed to receive Jesus, or maybe you want to come for baptism. We encourage you to follow the Lord's direction. If you want to pray, altar's open. You can come and pray with one of us as we sing together. You come.